Welcome back to Spanning the State. I am Kristen Bright. He is Brian Noonan, who is... It's a little warm.
It's very warm, and I started to dance, then I remembered there were cameras. I don't like this feeling of Big Brother watching me. It's streaming. Hello, everybody on the stream. Yeah, it's very terrifying.
Which you can watch at WTMJ.com.
I have to push it. Of course you can. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you want to see a man sweat and then try to dance?
Because it's warm in the studio, but it is very warm outside. It is an all-time February record high. Someone just texted in that it is currently 73 degrees at the Milwaukee airport and 75 degrees at the Kenosha airport.
And tomorrow, John said it was going to be 20.
Oof.
This is, it's a bit concerning.
It's a bit concerning. This is not a normal year. In a normal year, we joke about Wisconsin winters being the frozen tundra. But our next guest has actually spent time in his career in an actual frozen tundra. In Antarctica, David Mikulajczyk is a researcher with the Antarctic Meteorological Research Center at UW-Madison. David, thanks for joining us.
Hello. Great to be here.
So you're currently in Madison, where is it also 70 degrees in Madison right now?
It's, last I saw it was 69, so maybe we'll get up to 70 here, but
warm. It is super warm. And then what's the temperature at the bottom of the planet today?
Well, the coldest temperature I see from our weather station network is negative 75 Fahrenheit.
Wow. Where is that? Is that?
It's at Dome C, which is a region kind of very high elevation in East Antarctica.
Wow. East Antarctica. So that's Fahrenheit, right?
Yes.
When you do your research, because it's global research, do you guys usually do Fahrenheit or Celsius?
We usually work with Celsius, but some of our weather displays that we provide online will convert to Fahrenheit as well.
Thank you for not making us do the math for the conversion. I appreciate that, David.
So
I find it difficult as well.
The group that you work with, the research that you do, is largely monitoring the weather in Antarctica. And why is it so important to do this?
Well, one reason for studying the weather in Antarctica is because it is a large data void. And so our automatic weather station network provides the ability to fill in some of the gaps for studying the weather. And one thing that I think people are learning more and more is that everything is connected. Processes just around the region of Antarctica and even globally, things that happen at the equator can have effects in Antarctica a week to 2 weeks later, sometimes more. Things as simple as thunderstorms at the equator or something like El Nino, which is a typical climate regime that we're going through right now, actually, that can have effects. We've seen it affect places here in the U.S., and it can also affect Antarctica.
Go ahead.
So talking about that connection, you know, people hear you talk about the equator. They hear you talk about Antarctica. And they're thinking, well, how does that really affect us here in Wisconsin? That seems very far away.
Yeah, it can seem like that. But there's ways that we can understand how, if we see connections between the tropics and places like Antarctica, there are ways that we can study how that happened and apply it to how it might affect areas like the United States. And people who live in various regions across the world. And so if we understand how thunderstorms over the tropics can affect the jet stream in any part of the world, if we see any sort of connection there in any part of the world, we can see how that might affect areas like Wisconsin. And that might lead to times where there's big heat waves, kind of like one that's happening today in Wisconsin. That might affect... the agriculture, and so, you know, since we've hardly had any snow in Wisconsin, that therefore we don't have a good snowpack to keep the ground moist enough, and so that might affect the crops for the coming year, and so then that has an effect in the economy. So these things just kind of, you know, they snowball a little bit, pardon the pun, but so
we love puns here.
That whole connection. Oh, okay. Well, I'll try to work more in.
More weather puns, the better.
So yeah. Is there a push from one, without knowing much about weather and the climate at all, but is there a push as far as what happens there affects us up here, what happens here affects us down there? Is there one way that it pushes more than the other, or is it all constantly connected and creating a chain reaction?
That's a good question. I think most of the study of the connection between the tropics and the poles is in that order, things that happen in the tropics and how that how the energy and the heat and the moisture propagate from the tropics to the poles. And that probably is generally because a lot of the sun's energy hits the equator the most. That's where it's most intense. That's where a lot of energy is getting input into the Earth system, and then how that energy gets distributed across the globe is interesting to study. And so usually it's in that way as far as what people in my field study in terms of weather and climate. But things can happen in Antarctica that start in Antarctica, particularly I'm thinking about the ocean or ocean circulation. The ocean currents around Antarctica actually are one of the biggest drivers, if not the biggest driver, of global ocean circulation. And so if the Antarctic ice sheet changes and has an effect on the surrounding ocean around Antarctica, that could have global effects about the ocean circulation. So that's one way that that things changing in Antarctica can directly impact other places across the globe.
All right. Well, final question, short question. Mm-hmm. When you go annually to Antarctica, is there an initiation for the new people that have to go for the first time?
Initiation. Let's see. I'm going to say no.
You're going to say no, but is that the answer actually no?
Send us a DM. Let us know the truth.
I'm trying to think. Let's see, initiation. I guess maybe this isn't quite – I guess everyone just tries to see a penguin as quickly as they can. You know, that's probably one of the big things that people want to see. And, I mean, personally, myself, of course, I love penguins. They're great. So
the little tuxedoed animals.
There you go.
All right. Yep. David Mikulajczyk, thank you so much for your time. He is a researcher for Antarctica Meteorological Research Center. That is a mouthful.
That is a lot.